Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the saints of this place and of all ages and all time. Again, good morning and welcome to West End on this All Saints Sunday. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if this is your first visit Or if you've just begun attending, we want to express our hope that you will become a part of our family of faith here. So we'll be greeting folks we don't know around us and telling you that we would love for you to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of opportunities in your bulletin insert. While I'll mention a few, I hope you'll read all of those because they're all important. First of all, if you have an interest in our 2017 Guatemala mission trip, there will be a meeting, an informational meeting, after this service in Lisa Guac's office, which is room number 308. And even if you have just a little inkling that you might want to go, come and learn more about it. I know that the people who have gone have come back with great stories about how transforming this experience is. So that's 308 at the end of this service. Also, I hope you'll come and see the Cotton Patch Gospel. We have a performance at 3 this afternoon. We have one Wednesday night at 7, Friday and Saturday nights at 7, and next Sunday at 3. It is a modern retelling of the Gospel according to Matthew. It is set to music by Harry Chapin. It is both entertaining and challenging. You will be surprised how books that were translated in the 60s and adapted for the stage in the 70s apply right now in our time. So I hope you will read more about it in your bulletin insert and that you will make time to come. Also, our charge conference, our annual charge conference, is next Sunday at 1 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. This is the time that we report on what we've been doing this year, talk about what we're dreaming for doing next year. We take votes on the necessary things for us to take votes on. If you are a member of Ministry Table or Church Council, you are expected to be there if at all possible. But anyone is welcome to come and learn more about what's going on in the broad sweep at West End. Part of what's going on in the broad sweep at West End is that we are asking you to send in your estimates of giving for 2017. Some of you have already done that. I cannot tell you how important it is for you to help us with that. Even if you can give us a ballpark figure of what you think you can give, it helps us to plan. Now, you can do that in three ways. You can either fill out the card that was mailed to you, or there are cards in your pews estimating what you expect to give for the coming year, or you can go online and do that online, or for the very first time this year, you can send a text to 34444 with the message "Join West End Estimate" in it. It will send you a link to a very simple web page where you can estimate your giving. And if you send that text and you want to wait and think about it a little bit, it will send you a reminder as well. All that information is on this bulletin insert. And a reminder on the back of that insert of our Reconciliation Christmas Dinner, a longtime ministry of this church for the families of people who are incarcerated. So I hope you'll read both of those very, very carefully. Has anyone in your life ever been a window into God for you? That person's life really let the light of God shine through, and you saw it, and you knew that you could depend on God's love and you could trust Jesus because of that? Well, you know what we call people like that? We call them saints. And we're here to celebrate them, those who were members here and those from around the world. Glad you can be here to help us.
At all times, we are called to bless God's name. The proud will bend knees in worship. The humble will lift glad songs. Our faces glow with thanksgiving. Our spirits overflow with grace.
God has wiped away our tears, feeding us from the storehouses of hope.
Let us join together in the Collect of Purity. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy great mercy hast promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to thee, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words the scriptures say to all that truly turn to the Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church. Most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee to receive these our prayers for the universal Church, that thou wilt confirm it in the truth of thy holy faith, inspire it with unity and concord, and extend and prosper it throughout the world. We beseech thee also so to guide and strengthen the witness of the Church to those in authority in all nations, that they may maintain the justice and welfare of all people. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all ministers of thy Church, that both by their life and doctrine they may set forth thy true and lively word, and faithfully administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, that with willing heart and due reverence they may hear and receive the holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their lives. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to support and strengthen all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We remember with thanksgiving those we have loved, who have served thee and thy church on earth, and who now rest from their labors, especially those most dear to us, whom we name before thee. Jean Fonville Riddell.
Thomas Crockett Herbert, Sr.
Louise Kellogg.
Christopher Gilbert McGee.
Adelaide Shaw Davis.
Eunice Elizabeth Wiley Doty.
Michael P. Ishii.
Robert Harris Elledge.
Valley Carlton Brooks.
Donald Keith Gilbert.
William Brown Wadlington.
Thomas Earl Beasley, Jr.
Louise Baird Short.
George Samuel Jones.
Elizabeth King Folger.
Robert Thornton Nash.
Betty Childs Nixon.
Joseph Hunter Allen, Jr.
Hawkins Westmoreland Clark.
Robert Dixon Norling.
And we keep in our hearts and minds others dear to us who also rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all thy saints, and bring us at length to the joy of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, I've often wondered what Lazarus thought about this being raised from the dead business. Nobody asked his opinion. Nobody asked what he wanted. Now, we know what Jesus wanted and what Mary and Martha wanted because we hear about that in the story. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick, and he says it won't be a sickness unto death. And then a short while later, he pronounces that Lazarus actually is dead and delays his going to Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live, for a couple of days when he could have rushed off. Obviously, this was not a 911 call for Jesus. He knew that it wasn't a sickness unto death, even if Lazarus died. Now, in John, Jesus knows everything before it happens. Not so much in all the other Gospels, but in John, Jesus knows everything before it's going to happen, and he knows that this is going to be an opportunity for him to show the power of God's love, even over death. So he's in no rush. He arrives, and Martha meets him first, and first thing she says is, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You'd always hear her tapping her foot. And Jesus enters into this amazing conversation, this deeply theological conversation with Martha, his friend, about resurrection. "Do you believe in the resurrection?" "I believe in the general resurrection one day," she says. And then Jesus gives what is perhaps the most profound of his I am statements in the Gospel of John. You remember, "I am the vine, I am the good shepherd." Well, here he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Then he says, "You believe that?" And she said, "Yes." And when she said yes, she wasn't affirming some doctrine about the resurrection. She wasn't affirming some theological configuration of the resurrection. She was confirming that she trusted Jesus in this life and beyond this life. Mary comes out, and the first thing she says is, "You know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You think they'd talked about it ahead of time? Jesus doesn't give her the long explanation. Instead, he has come to see his friends and to help them understand that deep friendship is not just with him, but with God. Because in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the spoken word of God, God in the flesh. Now remember, Mary and Martha and Lazarus are not described as apostles. They're not even described as disciples. They are Jesus' friends. There is a kind of intimacy here that is not really clear with any of the other official disciples. So when Jesus comes, he is prepared to assure that they trust their friend enough that he has their best interest at heart and Lazarus' best interest at heart, that whatever he does, it's going to be okay. And then he goes to the tomb and he shouts in, "Lazarus, come out!" Or maybe it's not a command. Maybe it's a request. "Lazarus, come out." Because you see, nobody asked Lazarus' opinion about this raising from the dead business. And one of the reasons my question about this passage has deepened is that a few years ago, several years before my dad's death in 2010, shortly after I got here, he had gone through a series of surgeries. And after one of those surgeries, he told me that he thought he had died. He said, "I was so peaceful. And then it felt like they were bringing me back, and I hated it. I didn't want to come back. It was so peaceful." And I started thinking, I wonder if Lazarus felt that way. He's there and he's experiencing the presence of God in a way that's unencumbered, in a way that we can't. And all of a sudden he hears, "Lazarus, come out here." I happen to like to believe he had a choice. Because, you see, love cannot be commanded. I can't command you to love me. You can't command me to love you. Because love that is coerced isn't love. Love is a free choice. But what that indicates to me is that, like his sisters, Lazarus understood that whatever Jesus had in mind was going to be fine because he trusted Jesus. He knew that whatever Jesus planned to do, even if that meant he had to live a number of more years, even if that meant he had to die again. After all, we refer in the church to Jesus as the firstborn from the dead, but in the Gospels, that's not accurate. Lazarus in the Gospel of John is the firstborn from the dead, and Jairus' daughter in the other Gospels is the firstborn from the dead. But the difference is they both have to die again. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the goal of all of this is to trust in him. Why do they trust in him? Well, they've trusted in him in the good times. After all, we have the story about Jesus coming to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus and having a meal with them. We're going to have a meal in just a few minutes. And Martha is busy in the kitchen and worrying about lots of things, and Mary isn't helping, and she's sitting at Jesus' feet. But they're there for a good time. Now Jesus is there for them in a time of grief, affirming that nothing that can happen to you, not even the death of someone you love dearly, is beyond the reach of God's love, because God's love never ends. It is the one thing in this life you can count on. It is the one thing that is faithful. It is the one thing that will never fail. We will fail, our bodies will fail, but God's love will not fail. Jesus was the living embodiment of that love. And Mary trusted it. Martha trusted it. And if Lazarus hadn't trusted it, He would have just stayed in the tomb and said, could you give me five more minutes? Can we hit the snooze button here? But he doesn't. He comes out wrapped in his grave clothes with his face covered, but he comes out because Jesus called him out to live his life in whatever it brought and to die another death, whatever that brought. Today we remember the saints, those persons in our lives who have been those windows into God's love, God's never-failing love. Our bodies will fail. Life will fail. God's love will not. Some of the people who we named here today have taught you about trusting Jesus. I know some of them have taught me about trusting Jesus. They have been those persons through whom that light of God shone. The loving light of Christ, we say in this church. That's who we're called to be. And we have seen that light glimmer in these folks. Now, they didn't agree on doctrine. They didn't all agree on how we ought to do communion or how we ought to do baptism. That's not the point. Because Martha and Mary and Lazarus did not believe in a doctrine of the resurrection. They believed in a person. They believed in Jesus. So did these folks. Or they would never have gravitated to this congregation and been a part of this body of Christ. So do you. Maybe because of some of them. Or you would not be here this morning. You would not be a part of this congregation if you had not seen the loving light of Christ in these people and many, many others. You can name the others in your hearts, as I do, who showed us that Christ has our own best interest at heart. Not just in the times when we get together and feast and party and have a great time, but in the time when our hearts are so broken we think we can never recover. We think we can't even take our next breath. Jesus can be trusted, and God's love never ends and never abandons us. Even at the moment of our death, which will one day come to each of us, we will never be abandoned by that love. Someone will be calling our name saying, come out. And it won't be a command, it'll be a request. And we'll come running. Because it's that love that moves us. No coercion. Purely and simply the love that has been shared with us, calling us to a deeper and greater love. These folks whom we have named have shown us that love. Others in your life have shown you that love. Others in my life have shown me that love. Today we thank God for all the saints. Even the ones we never met, the ones we cannot name. Because they have helped remind us that no matter what is happening in the world, no matter what is happening in our life, God is faithful and God's love never fails. Thanks be to God. One of the most ancient creeds that we have, one named for the apostles, is found on number 881 in your hymnal. I invite you to stand as you're able and join me as we affirm our faith together using these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussions following the service. They will gather in Reed Hall. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. On one side of the card may be used to record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card your contact information. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. Please note whether this is to be kept confidential or can be shared. The card can be placed in the offering plate as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance if you've not already done so. You'll find the pad in the center of the aisle, and you can pass it down the pew. As it is passed back down the pew, please note those who are sitting with you. If you notice a name that you don't recognize, please take time to greet them after the service. Our sympathy is extended to DeWitt Ezell, whose wife, Barbara Ezell, died this weekend. Arrangements are not yet complete. In celebration of the God of life who sustains, upholds, saves, and watches over us, let us continue our worship through the offering of our gifts.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord.
It is right.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who by thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by the one offering of himself, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and didst institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these gifts of bread and wine, that we, receiving them, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his passion, death, and resurrection, may be partakers of the divine nature through him, who in the same night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As oft as ye do this, drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, thy humble servants, desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and thy whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and lively sacrifice unto thee, humbly beseeching thee that all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. And although we be unworthy through our manifold sins to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses, through Jesus Christ our Lord, with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The body of Christ, the sign of God's never-failing love. The blood of Christ, the sign of God's never-failing love. Let us continue our prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to partake of this sacrament of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we may walk in newness of life, may grow into his likeness, and may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you are seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. After the choir has communed, you are welcome to come forward by the center aisle, kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll be served the bread first and then the cup. You are invited, if you choose, to stay for a time of prayer. When you do return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisle. Any of you who may need a gluten-free option for communion, simply come to the side where the lectern is, my right, your left, kneel, and let your server know that you need the gluten-free option. It will be available to you there. Also, if you need to be served in your pew, just catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there as well. Every month, we take an offering for one of our missional partners. And this month, our communion offering goes to the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. It's a statewide immigrant and refugee-led collaboration whose mission is to empower immigrants and refugees throughout Tennessee to develop a unified voice, to defend their rights, and create an atmosphere in which they are recognized as positive contributors to our state. If you would like to contribute to that, there are two plates by the front pew. You're welcome to leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for all God's children. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. Almighty and most merciful God, for thee comes every good and perfect gift. We give thee praise and thanks for all thy mercies. Thy goodness has created us. Thy bounty has sustained us. Thy discipline has chastened us. Thy patience has borne with us. Thy love has redeemed us. Give us a heart to love and serve thee, and enable us to rest for all thy goodness and mercy by giving up ourselves to thy service and cheerfully submitting in all things to thy blessed will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you.
Down by the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the never-failing love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.